This podcast of the Radio Cafe comes to you via radiocafe.org, where you can find more information and many other podcasts. Technical support comes from Studio X, providing website design, hosting, e-commerce, and social media marketing, serving Santa Fe to the world since 1994. Find out more at studiox.com. I'm delighted now to welcome back to the Radio Cafe, Kathy Flynn. She's executive director of the New Deal Preservation Association. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you, Mary Charlotte.
And we're here to talk about an event that's coming up this coming Friday, the 12th of February, from 4 to 6 at the National Park Service building here in Santa Fe. It's called National Park Service Posters Treasure Hunt. It's a talk by Doug Lean, who calls himself Ranger Doug. And this is all about these posters that were created during the period of the New Deal, essentially.
Yes.
Beautiful posters. Some of the most interesting artists in America were, of course, brought forward during this difficult time in American history, the Great Depression, to make art of all kinds. And part of it was this National Park Service poster extravaganza. Yeah. Tell us about it.
Well, it was part of the WPA program, their federal art project, and that started in 1935. There were other programs before the WPA, but that's probably that and the CCC are probably the best programs that people remember if they know about it at all.
CCC,
Civilian Conservation Corps, and that put our young boys to work, planting trees and building dams and all kinds of things. And those guys are in their 90s now, and there's still a few of them around, particularly here in New Mexico. But the WPA had an art project, a music project, a theater project, a writer's project. The bottom line, it was something to put people to work.
Right.
Because the country was in a destitute situation economically. Everybody needed a job. So they came up with this idea of building buildings and then putting art in those buildings. And then one of the art projects was posters. And so they used them to advertise things that were going on in the buildings that they had just built and that sort of thing. So it was everywhere they could hire somebody or put somebody to work using their skill, if they were an artist or a musician or whatever. And if they didn't have a skill, they provided one. They developed one for
right.
them. So this particular one is not too well known. And that's why we're delighted to have Doug coming in. He's a dentist in Alaska.
But he calls himself Ranger Doug, but he actually was a ranger at one time.
Yes, yes. As a summer intern, he was a ranger.
Okay.
And during that time, he just happened to find one of these posters that was getting ready to be thrown out and burned. And he was really struck by the beauty and wondered how did this happen, and started digging around to see if he could find more. I have to admit that if you ever get started on this New Deal stuff, you get addicted to it. It takes over your life, and it obviously has taken over Doug's life in the sense.
Yeah, because he found one poster.
And
so then he started looking.
Then he started looking, and he finally, what he was able to ascertain was that there were 14 posters created from 1938 until the end of the program, which was when World War II, of course, started. So they created 14, they being two guys named Don Powell and another Dale Miller, and they worked in Berkeley, California. And they created these, and this was before serigraphing. And then the serigraph techniques came in, and they took that and then used that to work on these posters and make them even more beautiful than they were. So he started trying to find these 14. And over the years, he has found 12 of the 14. The two that he hasn't found yet are the Great Smokies and the Wind Cave. And so then he started trying to reproduce the 14 or the 12 that he knew what they looked like. And the National Park Service really liked it. And so, lo and behold, he had himself a whole nother career going as a, in addition to his dental career. And that it took off. And then, as the years progressed, many of the parks then asked him to do posters for them that were of the style of the WPA posters.
Right.
So
they weren't the original art, but that type of look.
Yeah. And so he's still looking for those two, and he will be here to tell us about what that treasure hunt has been like. According to the information he shared with me, they did find some in Bandelier. They found one in White Sands, and both of these sites, they were, you know, kind of tucked away somewhere, and they had even cut some of them up and used them for other purposes, like, you know, file folders or something like that.
Oh, my goodness.
But then things started turning around, and in 2004, there was 9 originals of these posters sold. I believe it was 9. Anyway, the one of Grand Canyon sold for $9,000.
Oh, my goodness.
So these...
Yeah, well, poster is, it's a kind of art collecting.
Oh, absolutely.
And some of them are made by absolutely first-rate artists like these. And what I love is that the facsimiles are screen printed, so they are themselves a kind of artwork.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's according to information he shared with me that they couldn't have made more than 50 or 100 of these, just in terms of the mechanics of how they could create these things back then. And it cost them 12 cents each to make them. And then they sent them out to chambers of commerce and place to, you know, promote the national parks in that area.
So very interesting. So we will be able to see these posters this coming Friday. The event is from 4 to 6. And you can also see them online. In fact, rangerdoug.com has a site where he shows a map of the United States, and you can scroll over it and see what poster went with what with what national park. It's very cool.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, we have had you on the air sort of every few years since I started doing radio, and you've written all kinds of books and been very active in actually preserving New Deal architecture and New Deal art of various kinds and promoting it. And there have been some great losses, and that is the way the world goes, unfortunately, sometimes. But how did you get interested in all of this yourself?
Well, in 1990, I was appointed the Deputy Secretary of State of New Mexico under Stephanie Gonzalez. And the first day on the job, Stephanie said, "Kathy, you will be responsible for compiling and editing the New Mexico Blue Book." And I went, like, what's that? And I'd never done a book, compiled and edited a book. And I found it was a great reference book. In fact, my husband, Jack Flynn, had probably 20 or 30 of them on a bookcase in our house. And I went, that's what those blue books are up there.
I'm doing that.
Because they go back to 1913, I believe. Anyway, as a result of that, I discovered this treasure. Those books are wonderful in the sense of information about New Mexico. And I've been very fortunate to do 9 of them since then. But that first one, I was thinking, okay, there's all these different sections in this book. How am I going to divide the sections up? And somebody said, why don't you show pictures of murals? And this mural flashed up in my head, and my aunt kind of went, what is that? And where is it? Why? What is this? And it was a mural at Eastern New Mexico University in Portales, where I grew up. And it is, in it itself, is a great story. It was done by Lloyd Moylan, a Santa Fe artist, and he was hired to paint a mural in the administration building after it was built, and it was a New Deal building. And the town or the university had the money to pay him, but they didn't have enough money to buy the paint.
Oh, my goodness.
So they put a plea out, and somebody, and I've never been able to find out who, came up with $160 for paint.
Which was a lot of paint in those days.
Yeah, provided that they got to choose the subject and that the artist would not paint on Sunday, because, of course, that's would have been a bit bad, bad, bad sin. So the subject they chose in a state building was Ecclesiastes 12. And he got caught painting on Sunday, and the preachers came on Monday, and his response was, "What better day to paint the Lord's Word than on the Lord's Day?"
So he got away with it.
He got away with it. And it is a gorgeous, gorgeous mural. Beautiful, beautiful mural.
He'd never get away with using public money to paint a biblical subject now.
No. But anyway, it's interesting. There is a similar situation in Highlands University. That administration building, Rogers Hall, is also New Deal. And Lloyd Moylan did a mural there. It's called The Dissemination of Education. Quite fine also. So you can go and look at those two, and those were just the tip of the iceberg of what I found, of course. And it's, like I said, it's taken over my life. I've written two or three books about it. And then we formed this organization as we were going out of office in 98 because we had acquired so much knowledge about what was around New Mexico and what was around the country. So I encourage people to come here. We had a weekend session together, and we formed a nonprofit corporation called the National New Deal Preservation Association. We have a new national board, and we have a New Mexico board because we have a very active group here. We've acquired and spent $550,000 preserving art all over the country.
Now, is it really in all 50 states, this WPA presence?
It's there. We'd love to have a chapter in every state. So
Right. Everybody
listening, go and help me get a chapter in every state. But right now we're finishing up a project at Highlands at Ilfield Auditorium. There were 8 murals in over every door going in and out of the lobby, and we couldn't find them. We had a picture of them from the archives, but they weren't there anymore. Well, they were. They were just covered up with 5 and 6 coats of white paint.
And oh, my goodness.
They were all done by Brooks Willis, a Santa Fe artist. And we have paid to have a conservator take off all that paint and teach students how to do it.
And you can take off 5
very
layers of white?
Very tediously. Yes, yeah. Very tediously. But the 8th one wasn't there. And what we have surmised from stories that we've gotten is that someone told the theater department director to make that lobby look more modern. Well, those murals were the most modern-looking ones we had of all the stuff I've seen. So we think they went in and started to take they were oil on canvas. We think they took them off, started peeling this one off and probably tore it.
Yeah.
So they, oh, well, let's just paint over them so we don't, you know. So we have had a competition, and we have a student at Highlands who will finish a new mural for that site in the middle of this month, and we hope to have a recognition ceremony and all that kind of stuff.
Amazing.
Each one of them have a quotation in the center of them on a plaster emblem, and this one says, "Reading maketh a whole man," by Bacon. So you got to come over and see what she did with that.
Now, very interesting. So there wasn't anywhere an image or a sketch.
We've tried to find it.
Yeah.
I thought about going through every annual from the 30s at Highlands, just seeing if anybody might have been standing
happened
in front
to,
of it.
Yeah.
But I figure now that we've got it all done, one will surface.
Right, of course. That's how it works. We're talking to Kathy Flynn of the New Deal Preservation Association. Now, the last time you were on the air, you were talking about an event that the association was doing, and you had this wonderful idea, which is you gave out to artists and to various people shovels, and you had them make art out of the shovels and auctioned them off. I thought that was brilliant, and it was very successful.
Oh, yeah, and it was unbelievable what people did.
Yeah.
We had 98 shovels done by 89 different people, because some did more than one. They really got into it.
Right.
We had things that were very basic, you know, somebody just painting an image on a shovel blade. We had one person who took the shovel blade and cut it and then soldered it together and made a road runner out of it.
Oh, my goodness.
A sculptured thing sitting on a table kind of thing.
So a metal artist.
Yeah. Another one did the same thing and made this beautiful kind of abstract sculpture out of it. It was done by Frank Morbillo, a very fine sculptorist here in town. Many, many people that you would know and other people you never heard of came out of the woodwork. We had it at the Scottish Rite Temple, and it was lots of fun, lots of work, and we learned a lot from it, and we hope to do it again.
And there's a few little shovels left over.
Oh, yeah.
Too many, which is good.
Yeah, we had about 11 left over. And so right now, those are available for sale. If you go to Joe's Diner, they're hanging on the wall in their lower room, call it the red room, because the wall is bright red, and those shovels look so great on that red wall. And there are three that have already sold. They'll be up for at least another month or so, so people should go and look at them and buy a shovel and give it to somebody as a really unique gift. But why a shovel? All of these work programs that Roosevelt implemented, they used a shovel. They didn't have big equipment like we have today.
Bulldozers.
Yeah. So the shovel was the implement of work ethic kind of thing. And so we thought, why not? And why not paint them? And so Payne's Nursery came through and donated the shovels for us. And it was just unbelievable. There are two that we do not have on exhibit because they are so amazing, and we were afraid, the people at the cafe were afraid they might get hit. One of them is a regular size shovel, and it is totally beaded from top to bottom to look like a yucca plant. These little teeny tiny green beads and their leaves that just, you know, flow out like this, and it goes up the stalk, and then all of these white blossoms, and then the blade itself, it looks like they just took gold beads and just, you know, put glue on it and then just poured. So the blade itself is solid gold beads, and then you've got the yucca, and it is really a fine piece, and it's on its own stand. Then there's another one that was done by the grandson of Tony Lujan, the husband of Mabel Dodge Lujan, but it was a son from his first marriage in Taos, and it is in memory of his grandfather, Tony Lujan. And the blade is a painting of the Taos Mountain. On the shovel is a drum and some gemstones and a feather and a few other things. And it is held up by a beautifully decorated elk horn.
You know, 80 years from now, there's going to be somebody on another radio show talking about the phenomenon of shovels that happened in the early 21st century. And somebody will have found them all and collected them, and there will be an auction. Because these are, in themselves, incredible artworks
that really are
being used to support other incredible artworks from the previous generation.
Yeah. Well, the things that came out of the New Deal are an amazing story. And the thing that's so special about them is that they're still with us today.
Yeah.
I mean, you all can't see, but I do have white hair. And all of us with white hair are very thankful every month when Social Security shows up in our banks. And speaking of banks, the FDIC was started as part of the New Deal program.
Yeah.
One of the symphonies were started as part of the Federal Music Project. But the buildings, I mean, here in Santa Fe, we're loaded with New Deal buildings and New Deal art.
Now, do you ever give tours in Santa Fe?
Sure, sure.
Is that a regular part of the New Deal Preservation Association's activities?
It's something, if somebody calls me, I do it. I regularly do it with either a high school. There's one high school that calls me, history class, Renaissance. Various programs have asked me to do tours.
If anyone's listening from the New Mexico Department of Tourism, call Kathy. That would be a great thing for people coming in from out of state, too.
Well, Monday I spoke to the History Museum docents. So they got a full bit of information about everything. And here sitting in the History Museum, it's surrounded downtown by New Deal buildings and New Deal art all around downtown. I pointed that out to them, but then I also pointed out to them all the things that are all over the state, because we have a plethora. And personally, one of the reasons why we have so much art is because we had so many artists that came here. Well, they were already here. Or they came here because somebody in the family had tuberculosis. I mean, John Gaumin had tuberculosis, and he was one of the ones that created a lot of the designed a lot of the buildings, and he also made the decision to decide where the art would go. And now his little grandson is up there at the Senate working out problems for us, namely Peter Wirth.
That's right. We're talking to Kathy Flynn, Executive Director of the New Deal Preservation Association, which is based right here in New Mexico. And once again, this coming Friday, the 12th of February, from 4 to 6, there's an event called National Park Service Posters Treasure Hunt. It's a talk by Doug Lean, whose website is rangerdoug.com. For more information, you can call Kathy Flynn at 690-5845. You can write to newdeal@cybermesa.com. You can also look at the website newdeallegacy.org. Anything else you want to let people know before we go?
Yes, come to the thing. If nothing else, come to see the building.
Yeah.
That building, the National Park Service building on Old Santa Fe Trail.
Yeah, 1100 Old Santa Fe Trail. Yeah.
It was built by the CCC boys on site. They dug out the ground, created 280,000 adobes, built a 24,000 square foot building, and it has been closed to the public in the last year, but now there are docents there that will be able to give people tours. But most people, it's like the Scottish Rite Temple. Most people hadn't been there. Most people have not been to the National Park Service building on Old Santa Fe Trail. It is a monument of beauty, and people need to come and see it. It's wonderful.
Well, Kathy Flynn, we will see you on Friday at 4 o'clock, National Park Service Building, newdeallegacy.org. Thank you so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. To support the program, you can go to radiocafe.org. Many thanks to StudioX.com for their technical support and web design.